In this week's episode, we have Sabrina, who is actually a listener of the podcast and has apparently been a viewer of mine for quite some time. And I'm so humbled and so honored that she would join Heather and I today. She took her life experience and her relationship with her partner and turned it into a beautiful business. She's going to share with us a little bit of how she got here and how we can all be taking steps to better the wedding community as a whole.
We are gathered here today to bring together the wedding community. Whether you are a seasoned pro, a newbie planning to start your own wedding business, or an engaged couple hoping to see behind the scenes, we're here to share tips, tricks, and laughs with you as we talk weddings. The Union Podcast is a show that aims to build a community for those in the wedding planning trenches. Join Jamie Wolfer, Heather Laurie Fear, and special guests in roundtable discussions about the challenges and joys of the wedding business. And now, here come your hosts, Jamie and Heather.
Hello, hello.
Oh, look at our cute little thumbnail photo. You're so cute.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Doing good. Doing good. It is a really nice day in Hawaii right now.
Oh my gosh. Hawaii, it seems like it almost always be a nice day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty lucky.
That is the fun part.
So you're originally from Hawaii, right?
Yep. Born and raised my whole life. I just moved out to LA for 7 years when I was going to college out there, and then just came back this way.
That's amazing. Are you loving it? Is it like a homecoming for you to be back?
Yeah, it's good to be home. I left home when I was 17 and I came back when I was 25. So kind of become a different person in that time frame for sure. But yeah, it's a lot of fun to be back home.
And what island are you on?
I'm on Oahu.
Oh my gosh. It's so gorgeous.
Yeah. Have you folks had the chance to come out this way before?
I have a handful of times. My husband and I are just obsessed with it, but even our daughter's name is McKenna, which was kind of inspired by the beach in Maui, but also there's an African word that it's tied to that's means the happy one. And we're like, hopefully we're setting the intention that she's a happy child.
So. Yep, that's it right there. I mean, Hawaiians, we do give our children namesakes, and that is to hopefully kind of perpetuate into they will live their life. So that's right on brand there.
Yeah. My sister, one of her best friends is Hawaiian. So they called the, what's the leader of the kind of the, one of the elders, I forget the term.
Kupuna. You
know, yeah. They called and checked if, you know, cause we're Howley
yeah.
to make sure it's okay. I'm like, I don't want to be offensive. I just, it's such a beautiful culture and I want to honor it. And they're like, if they're doing it with good intentions and we like this. And they're like, McKenna traditionally doesn't mean something super nice in Hawaiian. So we spelt it a little different than the Hawaiian version to kind of distance from the meaning there. But yeah, but anyway, we're obsessed here. Sorry, Jamie, go ahead.
That's okay. Because even though I didn't name my child something, to Hawaiian, we're like, no, I didn't do that. But yeah, Oahu's very special to us. And we've been to Maui a couple times as well. In fact, my husband had never been to Hawaii and we went, gosh, I think it was 2017, and he's a surfer. And so when he touched the ocean for the first time, I will never forget the way his head whipped around super fast and looked at me and he's like, it's so warm.
I'm
like,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely don't need a rash guard here. Don't have to suit up. You can just go right in with your board shorts. It was the same way for my brother-in-law. He came down with his wife for the first time in, I think it must have been 15 plus years. And he got in the water and it was like watching a little kid play in the ocean for the first time. And he was 27.
Oh, it is so beautiful. I love hearing your background, and I read about your story on some of the blogs where you've been interviewed and how you left town and you came back and now you're working there in your home. So I just love it. Can you tell us a little bit about your company and your business goals that you have?
Of course. Yeah. So my company is the Gay Agenda Collective. We specialize in planning weddings and events for the LGBTQ+ community and their allies. One of the biggest goals that we have is creating space in the wedding industry for the queer community. That means promoting queer love stories 365 days a year, not just during Pride Month, and really normalizing our love stories. It also means supporting businesses that are gay owned and at the very least gay affirming. I'm sure we will talk about it a lot later, mm-hmm. but while planning my wedding, I ran into vendors who didn't want to work with me and my partner solely because we were gay. And it really struck a chord in me that I wanted to support businesses who are accepting of all couples. And another pretty big business goal that I had when I started TGA was for it to be a mentorship for couples who maybe don't have family participation. My wife and I did not have our immediate family support when we got married, and I've used that experience to pour into other couples who are in similar situations. And I've had that pleasure of just being able to hold space with my couples who are heartbroken over their situation and really walk with them through the entire process. But yeah, it's been about since March 2018, and it's been ever since then, and it's been a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's jump in with this personal experience that inspired you to start this, because I think it's got to be an experience so many couples have. And I'm so amazed by you that you leaned into it, you know, and just started building something that you saw was so missing in this space.
Yeah. So in December of 2017, I got engaged to my wife, had a double proposal. It was super awesome. We're big Disney lovers. So I had my proposal at Disneyland. She had hers at the Griffith Observatory. It was very LA. We loved it.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
But at the time, I was still coming out to my parents, and as with my partner, we had a lot of difficult conversations, but we were super ready to plan our wedding and soak up all it had to offer. But we realized fairly quickly that the wedding industry was just not ready for us. And by March 2018, I started my company. It was that quick. I went into the planning process bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and I wanted to hire all the vendors that I had followed on Instagram for years. I reached out to vendors, some in LA and some in Hawaii, because at the time we didn't know which location we wanted to have our wedding, and mm-hmm. instantly ran into vendors saying that they wouldn't work with us, one wow. of which was a wedding planner.
Wow.
And I was devastated, not only because I was really looking forward to working with some of these people, but because I was simultaneously going through my parents telling me they weren't going to be there for us. And I really didn't need a company to remind me of that pain. But, you know, I found out also through the process that filling out paperwork wasn't even affirming. I'm not kidding. Every document, excluding my photographer and videographer forms, required a name for a bride and a groom.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, my wife and I had a running joke of who wanted to be the groom that day. But by like the sixth time, I was so over it, and I started crossing out bride and groom and just putting our names. I literally sent revisions to people. And I had just that terrible experience with vendors saying that they wouldn't work with us. So I made it a point to tell every single person I inquired with that this was a gay wedding. I seriously couldn't afford not having somebody show up on the day of our wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So I just needed to make sure that it was known that this was a gay wedding. But every time I did it, I did feel like I was coming out and trying to explain our situation. And I knew that there were straight couples that didn't have to preface that information.
Oh, yeah.
They just kind of existed and booked who they wanted to book without the fear that someone would say no. And as we all know, weddings are stressful enough, but this just added extra work and took away a lot of the enjoyment. I knew that there was around planning a weddings, but I also knew that I wasn't alone in this. Knew there were other gay couples who must be going through the same thing and feeling the same way. So I took what I knew, which at the time was not a lot, and started the Gay Agenda Collective.
Well, that is amazing. And I hear you. That cannot be a fun experience to have anybody, you know, rejecting you like that when you're already dealing with that emotion of having issues with your family, being supportive. And I know from myself, I have changed all my paperwork since the first wedding I did. And I was like, this isn't very open. This isn't very helpful. Like, why am I limiting this? And years ago, changed all my paperwork. And even when I have club calls with all my different couples getting married, because I work kind of in a group format, I always really try to say partners, your future spouse. I try to keep it very neutral because, you know, even if you think you see how a couple identifies, they may not be what appears. And so I like to keep it as open and as loving where they feel welcomed. And it's not necessarily an instinct for the, you know, heterosexual white woman to think I need to do this. And it takes some work. And I mean, God, I'm proud of you for getting out there and seeing this block and not only just going, this is here and that's terrible, but let me go out and create something that's going to be different. So good job.
Thank you.
Now, let's switch it up and talk about you working just in Hawaii. And I want to understand, working on an island is like, that's got to be hard. How does that compare to the mainland weddings that you work on?
Yeah, so there are some pretty big differences in the wedding industry between, you know, because I have two locations that I work in California, primarily Los Angeles area, and then Oahu, Hawaii's, where we're home based. So that's kind of where I have a lot of the weddings as well. Mm-hmm. But they're a world of a difference, whether that's from your design aesthetic to just different ways that you would structure the event to just the family support. Here in Hawaii, it is really big on family support, meaning they will help with everything from cooking the food to making the flower arrangements to setting up all the tables and chairs. You know, I've had to learn a lot about the way that I communicate with my frienders, or I've heard Jamie call them frienders. You just kind of have to work it out and figure out ways that it makes it feel like everybody's winning. Just in our wedding, my wife and I did things a little non-traditional, and we decided we didn't want a cake because neither of us were cake people. So we went full on dessert bar. Mm-hmm. And while I didn't have my parents there, I did have extended family there. And I had an auntie who was set on being a part of this wedding in some way, shape, or form. So I let her make the cake, bless her heart. And it was her first crack at a 3-tier cake, and it fell apart. Oh. But it was something we just had to let her do because it was so custom out here for mm-hmm. family to be a part of it. And you really don't say no, which is a planner I learned very quickly. But you have to be creative on how you make everyone feel like they won in a situation.
Oh, that's so special that you got to have the family involvement and the community there, but also stressful.
Yeah. And you know, it definitely changes the way you communicate with people here. It's so interpersonal. I mean, while there is the level of professionalism here, it's so much more important about having that relationship. And that's really helped me with my mainland couples, while, you know, being more professional with my mainland couples has helped me with my Hawaii couples. It kind of transcends with each other. Another big thing I said was design aesthetic. I cannot mention to people to have peonies here. It's like $14 a head at times, and it's just so expensive. So I've had to learn different floral recipes and just different things I have to suggest to people, because it's just maybe not as cost effective to have it here versus there.
$14 a head? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Now, I've actually had the opportunity of working at Nut Ridge Estate, which was crazy, right down there in Honolulu. So I got to see just a small portion of what you're talking about, just a very small portion, and working with the vendors, and everyone was so laid back. And I'm like, wow, here mm-hmm. I am just ready to go. But it was such a rad experience because it was just something I hadn't done before. And I had obviously experienced island life through vacation, but not in this capacity. So it was really neat to kind of just get a small peek into what I'm sure your world looks like, balancing between the two different areas.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it has its pros, and totally, because I get to travel a lot, and that's been amazing. Being able to travel, who doesn't like to travel? So kind of shifting between the two areas, but yeah, it is very different here. And I like I said, I'm born and raised here. This is what I grew up in. I watched my mom plan weddings and events here for families. And so that's kind of what really kickstarted my interest in all of this. So kind of being back here and getting to see just how the wedding industry is done here is really cool. You know, some of the best weddings that I've ever planned, though, do come from destination weddings, because they merge together those two combinations of having a mainland couple come here and taking part in some of the Hawaiian traditions that we have and kind of merging those two together. Those come out to be some of my favorite events for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so special. I love that, that's something that you embrace and encourage, and that it ends up being really a moment to remember for you.
Yeah, totally.
Now, is there any, I mean, to get to a more potentially difficult topic, is there any tension with like the mainlanders coming to the island? I mean, obviously it's great to have the tourism and people there for destination weddings, but Is there any conflict or feelings of challenge with maybe them coming and spending a bunch of money on a wedding and bringing up pricing for locals or anything like that?
No, you know, I think that tourism, we are built on tourism. A lot of our lights are turned on because of tourism. So it is a welcome thing that we definitely need to have here. I think that it goes with anything. Respect goes a mile, you know? So if you're coming to a place that maybe you don't call home, coming into it, just knowing that you're going to respect the space that you're in. I've worked with a number of couples who come here on destination weddings, and they are to the utmost of disrespectful. They just want to know about the culture. They want to include parts of the culture within their wedding while still remaining respectful of that, not crossing a line. You kind of mentioned that with your child's namesake. It's very similar to that. You want to have to be a part of your life, but doing it from a place where it comes across respectful. Where I've also seen couples who maybe do come from their locations who maybe don't do that, don't have that respect. I know that there was something that happened a couple of years ago where a couple came here and got married on a burial site that had a lot of our ancient bones on. And of course, that wasn't something that they knew. But, you know, it goes just with research and having maybe an experienced planner, somebody hiring vendors who are from the location of where you're working or where you're going to get married, it helps a lot. But that went totally viral all over our news of this couple. And yeah, they were, you don't want to get yelled at on your wedding day for sure. I know, you know, but people were letting them know you're not supposed to be here. And they were just trying to do a simple elopement, not knowing, just kind of thinking that it was just a nice rocky area, not knowing that underneath them, it had a lot of our ancestors' bones. So, yeah, things like that. It's two heads of the coin, you know, but, yeah, I think it just goes along with respect. It's welcomed. I love when people are like, we're thinking of having a wedding in Hawaii. I'm like, please come. I would love to plan your wedding here. But yeah, it is definitely welcome as long as there is a level of respect.
Yeah. I think the respect is huge. I mean, the same with the LGBT plus sort of side of things is having that respect and an openness and really just what we talked about with Ariel in an episode that just released, you know, treating people as humans and just loving them for who they are and respecting them for who they are. Now, you obviously experience this industry falling short and not doing that well enough, and you've taken action to make it better. But are you seeing any ways like the average business in this industry is falling short and you know what they could be doing to do better to be a stronger ally with the community?
Yeah, so I can break it down into 4 points because, you know, I do get this question a lot.
Yeah.
So I've kind of broken it down into just 4 simple things that you can maybe do in your practice as a wedding professional. First, I think it is to make sure that you are showcasing that you are an affirming wedding vendor. It seems like a no-brainer that maybe you wouldn't have to put it in your bio that you are affirming of all. But if you are someone who is planning a wedding, you don't know, and you may feel like you can't approach that vendor or have to explain that it is a gay wedding. And that just really isn't the job of the couple. It really is our job as wedding professionals to make sure we are creating safe spaces. Another thing that vendors kind of miss the mark on is verbiage. And you mentioned Heather here, change your verbiage. Even being a part of the LGBT plus community, I've learned hard lessons that not all women want to be called brides and not all guys want to be called grooms. And you can't assume based on the gender you see that they are either or. It is as simple as keeping it gender neutral or asking all your couples what they would prefer to be referred by. And that translates into your documents, taking off bride and groom and just putting names of couple, taking off bridesmaid and groomsmen, and just putting wedding party. It seems pretty minute, but it does make a difference for sure. Third, not all couples fit into normal wedding traditions. And I use air quotes because I think we're seeing across the board that people are shifting away from having wedding traditions, but just not assuming that all of them will fit. For example, at my wedding, I didn't have a father-daughter dance because my dad wasn't there and my wife's father passed away. But we were still asked by our DJ what song we wanted to play for that. And it was really hard to explain why it wouldn't happen. And I get that this could be brushed off as a mistake, but something I've done is just have my couples tell me what they want. When I'm building a timeline, I don't follow a generic template and assume it's all applicable. I let my couples know that anything goes. They tell me what they want. I plug it into a timeline. And I just really never assume any of that. And then the last thing that maybe could help is, I would say to post photos of gay couples all year long, not just in June. June is known as Pride Month, but it's really showcasing our love stories 365 days a year. So if you're a vendor who's serious about wanting to be safe and affirming, it is showcasing those love stories all year long. And if you only had, you know, the privilege of doing maybe a few gay weddings, and maybe you don't have enough content set up, I would say styled shoots that showcase queer love stories is great. Visibility and representation is everything. If I'm a gay couple who's looking for a vendor, I'm looking at your feed. I'm looking to see if you work with people that look like me, and I need to know that I'm not going to be the token gay couple there. So that's kind of the big things that I think that can help shift the way that we work in the wedding industry.
That all makes absolute sense to me. I know one of the couples that I worked with that was a same-sex couple, I reached out to the vendors on their behalf and kind of had that conversation mm-hmm. for them, because it was the first time that I'd worked with the same-sex couple. And I was like, I do not want them to be in the situation where someone is in any way hurtful to them. So I went ahead of them. And before I'd give them a list of any references or referrals, I would call all of them and be like, I'm going to refer this couple to you. What is your stance on that? Like, I want full clarity here. I don't want any surprises. Right. And if you're not going to show them anything but love, this isn't going to happen. And I won't send you work in the future, really.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I'm not cool with that. So I think as a planner on that side, you know, getting a good vibe of what your community, that list of your top preferred vendors, what their stance is on it, so you don't ever have your couple have that moment and have to experience that, because that's not fair.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I will say the first time I was booked by a same-sex couple, they didn't ask. And I honestly, I was like, this is so rad. They didn't feel like they had to ask, like, can I hug you guys? Because I know that's the case across the board. And they didn't have to. And I was like, I don't know. Because clearly, my brand has got some work to do. It does. I'll be the first to admit that. I would love to do that work. But they didn't ask. And I was like, this is incredible. I was so moved by that. But I was also so deeply saddened that so many do have to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I was just, mm-hmm. I am writing notes. And anyone who's listened to these podcasts knows that, like, I love taking notes during these times. And one of the things that you said, Sabrina, stuck out so much to me that I want to go change our bio right now. Because you're right. You need to actually say the words. You got to say it out loud.
Yeah, definitely. And it just is a declaration of where you stand, not just as a wedding professional, but really just as a person. You know, I think being an ally in the wedding industry isn't just, you know, being a wedding ally in the wedding industry. It's being an ally in the way that you run your day-to-day life. And so if that's something that holds true to you as a person, then that it will just kind of bubble over into the way that you handle your business as well, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, being a parent has really opened my mind up to be more proactive with it, because, you know, the children that I've had in my life as a foster parent or a biological parent, I don't know who they will become and grow into and where they're, you know, where they will end up with relationships and all of that. So I try even further to be very loving across the board, because I don't want them to have anything from their childhood that makes them feel like they're any less or unworthy or loved any differently, no matter where they end up. And like, this is getting me choked up to say that, but it's so important for us to start at that point. And then, like you said, carry that over into our work. Yeah. So declaring it and being, you know, a voice. And if there are some people out there who don't like that, well, they're not the right fit for you, and that's okay. And I think us as the allies taking that hit is we're shielding the people who are already, you know, going through so much and already having to to live this different life that can be so challenging. And so being a good ally is really putting ourselves in between. And if that means some people say mean things to us, then that's fine, because we're shielding the people who really, really don't deserve that. And at least that's my take on it. But do you have any resources that you would suggest? Because I know it's not your responsibility to teach us all about this. And there are lots of books about this, lots of blogs, lots of places to go and learn. But like, what would your favorites to be to refer other wedding professionals to if they want to go deeper and they want to work on this themselves?
Yeah. So, you know, reading up on deconstructing gender norms is one of the best things that you can do, so that the industry can be more gender neutral. So it serves all couples who might not look or identify as a woman or man, because love really has no gender. And while I think that that is where the wedding industry is moving towards, we can always just have a little bit more education on that. I was talking to a vendor friend of mine, Kenzie Kate Photography. And while we were talking about how there are some trainings out there held by queer owned businesses that educate straight owned businesses on how to better serve the LGBTQ community, Jamie Thrower is a queer photographer who does that work. And there are so many blogs and publications that focus on showcasing queer couples. So really tuning into that. It's more than just diversifying your feed, but it's diversifying who you're seeing on your feed. So whether that's following gay owned wedding businesses, reading their blogs, because that really helps you understand how gay folks are talking about themselves on a daily basis. So really surrounding yourself with that following and will just really help normalize it in your everyday life. And everything that's going on, I think it's hard not to address the intersections that there are in the wedding industry. It is really more than just being queer affirming. This ties all together with race as well. And being that I am a queer woman of color, indigenous woman of color, this really does tie back to me. We are starting to see that a lot of professionals are openly talking about the inequality in the wedding industry. So I think just listening to these voices, they have so much to say about how we can be better business owners, but above all, better people. And so there's, for me, there's not something that I am personally reading every day. There's not something that I can suggest that's a book or one location you can go to. It's just a collective of these voices. A lot of queer-owned businesses have a lot to say about the wedding industry. So tuning into that, even just reading through the way that they caption their photos for their couples, all of that just really helps change the mindset and change the way that we look and talk about gay couples. And that really helps for the entire community for sure.
Yeah. I mean, every single couple of any orientation and dynamic is going to have their own quirks and their own perspective and their own vision for their wedding. And I think, you know, many of us who aren't experiencing that, we maybe are in our bubble and we're not seeing enough variety. And we do have this huge resource of the internet to be able to follow many different voices and get many perspectives and understand that just as diverse as any couple can be, I mean, you're going to have weddings all different types, on all different levels of budget, on all different levels of style, all different dynamics of what they want to involve and traditions they would want to incorporate. And I think just being aware of that, and that's something for all of us to continually push ourselves to grow and be more open and accepting of that variety, because it's so easy to just be in your little bubble and not be aware that that bubble really keeps you isolated from building something so powerful in the community around you and really supporting those in the community that need the support, that deserve the support and the love so much. So yeah, I'm talking in circles here, but it's just, I think Jamie and I have both had this really on our hearts lately, and we're just really glad you're here.
Oh, I'm like,
oh, thank you.
Honestly, oh man, I'm so emotional today. It's not your responsibility to teach us, but I'm so glad you're here to share. Like, I can't wait to implement all of the things that you're sharing with us. I know it's not your job. It's our job. And I know I'm not doing a good enough job at it just yet, but thank you for being willing to sit with us and walk us through it. Cause I don't want to be an asshole. I just want to love people. I just want to help them plan their weddings. I just want to make sure I'm doing it in a respectful way. Because just like the people who are coming to Hawaii, they should be respecting the space that they're in. And I want to respect the space that my couples are in. So, man, I'm very, very grateful for everything that you're sharing with us today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. I wanted to throw one question at you that from my personal experience with couples in my community, and there have been some who've had that same position you were in where there wasn't a lot of family support, and how you said you just held space for them and really listened to them. And that's what I've tried to do. But do you have any suggestions of how in that moment, you know, we can better be there for that couple who deserves to have the love and the family support there? And God, it's heartbreaking that it's not there. Anything on that note? Because I want to be able to do better for those couples and keep supporting them through this journey.
Yeah. So I think that I'll just go based off of my experience. For me, what I needed above all was just to be seen and to be heard and to be held in that time. So, you know, I didn't need the reminder that we were going to have family support. I didn't necessarily need to have that constantly be the thing that's brought up, but I just needed to know that I was loved. So whether that was as small as somebody of just like buying me flowers was really nice during that time. Like somebody just being really nice and just being nice to me was really kind. But I think, you know, for me, it was just the hardest part was the 5 minutes right before the wedding was about to start. And I was in the place where I looked at my wife and I was like, I don't think I can do it. I literally was like, I don't think I can do this. And I had my photographer, who I mentioned, Kenzie Cape photographer, she was there. I was having a panic attack. And I was like, I need something right now. I was like, I need a fan. I need something. We're in the jungle right now getting married. I'm really hot. I'm boiling over. And she came back with a leaf and a bag of ice, which it sounds funny, but that's all she had to give me. And she gave that to me and I laughed a little and it kind of, you know, took my mind off of what the situation was what was going on. And my wife kind of gave me a pep talk, just saying that I could do this, that at the end of the aisle, there she was going to be, or there I was going to be. And that at all of this was a celebration of our love. All of this was a declaration of who we are as people and who we are stepping into being as a married couple. And to just focus on that, focus on all the love that has brought us to this point. And that got me down the aisle. And then I would say 3 months later, I had a couple, and actually a straight couple, whose father decided at the last minute to not come to the wedding. And it drastically changed the way that she was going to walk down the aisle. And I had the opportunity to give that same speech to her. And to look at your partner. Look down the aisle, walk into the love that you have fought for all these years, and focus on that. And so that's helped a lot. So it's just, it really is being a cheerleader through this whole time. As wedding planners, that's kind of what we already do, is we are cheerleading. We are kind of being the voices for our couple, advocating for them, whether that's through vendors or through family, you know, making sure that they're visions are being seen and that we execute their wedding, but it does go above and beyond. It is sometimes filling in those hard moments where you have to stand in and kind of give that love that where a parent should be. And that's the best thing that you can do in that situation.
That's so beautiful that you got to learn from that experience and pass it on to another couple and now use that, I'm sure, as one of your skills that makes you just such an incredible wedding planner. And I really love what you're doing and the fact that you had a hard moment and a hard situation have turned it into something so beautiful. And that's just such strength on your side, and really you're inspirational.
Yeah, seriously.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I've always had that mindset that you can take the situation and just let it consume you, or you can consume it. So that's kind of just been what this whole experience has been. I mean, coming out, my background is extremely conservative. I went to Azusa Pacific. My parents are very Christian. So I've had a lot of learning through this entire experience. Just about myself. If you read a little bit from different articles, I've had a lot of things just happen that I never thought would happen, just even as a university student. And I've really just, if I let all of that consume me and let it get me down, I think that I just maybe wouldn't be here today. So it just, I've been so blessed that I have a partner whom I love and who loves me, and have friends and a community who's helped me through this entire situation, because without them, I don't think I would be able to make it. But yeah, it's been good to just kind of have a different outlook on life, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't realize you were an APU grad. My brother went to Biola.
So. I am. Yeah. I am an APU grad. Yeah. So, and me and APU, we have a long history of just going back and forth, but you know, I love the people that all my best friends have come from that university. So, you know, I can't even pretend like I didn't enjoy those experiences, but they're, you know, we're all learning. It's like trying to teach an old dog new tricks. That's what I always say with my parents, and people ask how I can still have a relationship with them after they didn't come to my wedding. And I'm like, because it's taken me 20 something years to identify as the way I identify and come to terms with who I am. I can't expect my parents, who've been the way that they are for 50 something years, to all of a sudden get it. And it's the same way with the university. So,
wow. What a compassionate response. I mean, just like, I don't know if you know this, my dad's a pastor. So I was raised in the church. So figuring out how to switch this narrative that's been so deeply ingrained is rough.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm just kind of stumbling through it sometimes. So, it's, oh my gosh, I'm crying again. We basically, to be totally frank, we had someone call us out in a way that really hurt and was painful. And I'm still trying, I think that's probably where a lot of this emotion's coming from.
Yeah.
So I just appreciate your compassion. Shoot. That's honestly why I let Heather do most of this interview, because I just...
Yeah, we're just wanting to do better. And I think both of us in our respective businesses have been trying to do a good job. And it's, you know, there's always room to grow and there's always ways to improve. And some people are more forgiving to the fact that we're all on this journey growing, all of us. And so it's been a little bit trying here, but we're moving through it. And seriously, I mean, it's just cool too that you happened to have emailed me this week. And I was like, this girl's awesome. And she's listening to the podcast. And I think her energy is so in alignment with what we're doing. And I just would love to have her on here. So, I mean, it was like the universe.
Yeah, stars aligned for sure. Yeah, it definitely did. And, you know, if I can give any last thing of encouragement, it's just have some grace for yourself during this whole entire process. Like I mentioned earlier, I had an eye-opener experience where I, as even being a part of this community, still to this day, screw up. Mm-hmm. And if you can't have grace with yourself in those situations, you just won't allow yourself to grow. And growth comes from mistakes. It does. And it comes from doing things that you have to learn from. So, you know, even with everything that's going on, I'm even learning about the way that I should be communicating with our, you know, brothers and sisters of the Black community. Mm-hmm. You know, even things like that, I haven't honed in on. Coming from Hawaii, we are still a very conservative state. You know, I grew up having these ideas. I grew up having these biases, and I have to unlearn them every single day. And so I will make mistakes along the way, and I'm not going to please everybody. And that's true. I mean, there people will always have their own opinions on things. And all you can do is, if the intention is there to never hurt, and the intention is there is to do good, then you learn from your mistakes, you pick yourself up, and you continue to move forward. And that's all I think anyone can ask for. At least for me, I can't speak for the whole queer community, but I know that I don't take people's situations, I don't hold it against them. As long as I can see that there is a progression forward and that you aren't the same person you were 5-10 years ago, I think that that's all you can ask for.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I feel like, layers of the onion being peeled back. And currently, I don't know what's going on in the universe, man, but we're working through this as a society right now. And it's hard.
Totally.
It's hard for the people of color who are like, they've been living this and they're like, hello, we've been telling you, no one's listening. And it's like, yes, you're right. We got real comfortable with things being not set up in a good way. And so we're having to work through that. And it's definitely hard on and everyone. And again, to different levels and so much intensity for certain people. And so, you know, it's going to be a grieving process. It's going to be a slow healing process, but I feel like at least having these issues brought up and brought to light. And I think people are really taking them seriously right now, which is important. And it's something that, you know, wasn't taken as seriously. I mean, it's terrible. It took looting and burning buildings down to get the attention. But to me, I think of it as like a little toddler throwing a tantrum. And it's like, they want attention. They're giving you a message and they don't have the bandwidth, the words to tell you. And so this is what it took in our society to get the attention and hear the message.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I also found it interesting. I was reading a lot about you before this to kind of get my bearings. Yeah. And there was a story that I think so eye-opening to hear you have a couple reach out to you and ask if you would plan a straight wedding, and that they were asking you, and kind of role reversal for you. And yeah, can you tell us a little bit about that experience? Oh, and
it was, I mean, amazing.
For those of us listening who are straight, you know, thinking about that experience and really putting yourself in those shoes, you know, and really envisioning that to get a little bit more compassion built up for yourself.
Yeah. So it was awesome. I mean, like, not in a bad way, but I literally just never expected that to happen. And in that moment, I was like, oh my God, it happens. I flipped the role of what happens to gay couples all the time. And it's happening here. And it was so interesting. I mean, they reached out because they had seen my feed and they were so interested in my design style and they really wanted to work with me, but they weren't sure if I worked with any straight couples. And so I got this email and I literally printed it out and I showed my wife and I was like, can you believe that this just happened? That someone asked me if I'd work with them. And I chuckled and, you know, I reached out to them and we had the pleasure of being able to work together. But it was so cool because he was like, yeah, I just never knew if you were going to be able to work with us. And I was really hoping that you would. And then it got me thinking that I don't think I've ever had to ask anybody that before. I don't think I've ever had to preface my relationship with anyone ever before. And yeah, it was the first time that I ever had to do that. And it was very eye-opening for me that there is a privilege that I have, that I can just plan my wedding with my partner and not worry about somebody saying they really wouldn't work with us. And that was the first time that I had to question it. And it was a nice eye-opener for him. And it was an eye-opener for me that, you know, it does happen, but, you know, maybe we are starting to shift the way that we look at weddings. And that's not the goal. The goal isn't to ever have to have people uncomfortably ask these questions, but it is to kind of put perspective on that. It is to just have people think a little bit that is what happens. And so I've gotten a number of questions following that from people, from family, from friends who asked, oh, will you work with my friend? They're straight. Like, of course. Mm-hmm. This is always all about love for me. And that looks like working with all couples, whether you're gay, whether you're straight. I am so excited to work with all love stories. And yeah, it was just really such a crazy experience.
Oh my gosh. This is so fascinating. And I love your perspective on this, and you just bring so much joy and love to what you're doing. It's incredible. Can you tell us, you know, where can people find you? Where can they learn about you? I'm already like thinking my 20th anniversary or something, I have to go to Hawaii and have you run this
right
renewal for me. So where can they find you?
Yeah. So everything is the Gay Agenda Collective. So, my Instagram is thegayagenda.co. My website is www.thegayagenda.co. It's keeping it pretty simple. And then if you want to email me, it's info@thegayagenda.co.
All right. So they can find you and get in touch. And thank you for all you're doing and for being here with us. We're really, you know, I feel like this whole situation going on in the world has made both of us really lean into this self-discovery and reflection and looking at the privileges we have, like you talked about, and really just going, wow, we can do better. And we want to pass that on to our community. So thank you for being here and just, you know, taking part in this education and this excitement to do better. And we really appreciate it.
Yeah. So, so very much.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It was a blast to kind of share a little bit about myself and just this business and some hopes that we have for the wedding industry. I think it's a shared mutual feeling that this industry has so much potential to be more than just weddings. We have so much ability to advocate for people. And as planners, you know, all three of us are planners. I feel like that is at the core of why we got into this industry, is to help people. And so I'm really thankful for the opportunity to share about that and just the space to openly talk about this.
Yeah. And thank you for giving us tangible things. Like, I'm just so excited to go forward and just try harder, do better, be better. And you didn't have to help in these ways, and you did. And we are just so, so grateful, man. I'm so grateful.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks so much.
You've just walked down the aisle of today's episode of the Union Podcast. Thank you for celebrating today's show with us. We hope that you found a little gem of wedding wisdom from this episode. Please let us know your feedback by sharing a screenshot of this episode on Instagram. Be sure to tag @UnionPodcast so we can hear your voices. Let us know what topics you'd love to hear about on future episodes. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform you prefer. Until next time, stay lovely, wedding friends.
We cannot wait to dive into other subjects with you. And I agree, Heather, that's so great, but you are so much more. And we want to celebrate all those facets alongside you. So it's a tough subject, and we're figuring out how to navigate that. But I think the details of shopping local, or, cause like I was saying earlier, planning one in Hawaii was totally different for me, or traveling as a wedding planner. I'm just now starting to do that. And I think you could provide so much value to those.
Oh yeah. That would be really interesting to talk about.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I would love to share. And I have been watching you folks. You were definitely a reason why I was kind of like, maybe I can do this.
Really?
You
know,
We had a lot of backgrounds. Yeah. You had a lot of backgrounds just with our upbringings and just, you know, having moms who, you know, were just so good at planning and then just watching their every move and wanting to do that. And then I literally started my business from watching your videos. Cause when I say I came into this industry with not a lot of knowledge, I literally came into this industry with not a lot of knowledge. My extent was from restaurants. That was my background. So I was doing restaurant management. And I just was like, well, I plan some events here and I'm taking some of this information. And then I think I've watched maybe the whole entire knowledge of wealth that you had on your YouTube. And then that I was like, all right, let's do it. So when I told my wife that I was going to be talking to you both today, she was like, that is amazing, because we've also been following Wedding Hacker too. And I just decided, you know, to just go through the course, to just always do continued education. I shared that with Heather. So it's just been a lot of fun. And there's not a lot of community with the wedding industry. It seems like sometimes we're all competing against each other. But so it's nice to have, you know, people that you can talk to, for sure.